Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Well, we're back with Dr. Gladman. She's a rheumatologist and a professor of medicine at the University of Toronto. Dr. Gladman, I think everybody knows somebody that can predict the weather by how their joints are feeling.
Right.
What does weather have to do with arthritis, and is it just certain types of arthritis that are affected by weather?
That's a very good question, and there have been a number of studies over the years, and the bottom answer is that nobody knows for sure. But there's no doubt that certain individuals are affected by the weather, whereas others are not. So a number of studies suggested that there might be more pain felt when the temperature goes down or when the humidity goes up. There are a number of studies that show that actually if the weather is nice outside, such as a sunny, not terribly hot and not terribly humid weather, people have less degree of inflammation. But there was a meta-analysis, there was a review of a number of studies that were done that was published in 2011 that actually came to the conclusion that we really can't tell whether or not weather has a significant effect on arthritis.
What about age and arthritis? Is there a relationship between how old we are and, you know, how much arthritis we have? Because, you know, it seems like older people have arthritis, but although I've seen and have run into people that are younger and had arthritis as well.
For sure, and that's what I was saying. You know, there's so many different forms of arthritis. So osteoarthritis tends to occur in older individuals. When I was in training, we used to say it was over the age of 60, but that number is coming down. Whereas rheumatoid arthritis, the peak age is actually between 20 and 40. Mm. And psoriatic arthritis, again, the peak age is in the 30s, and a form of arthritis that affects primarily the back, called ankylosing spondylitis, actually starts in the late teens, early 20s. And then, of course, we have arthritis of childhood, where there are a number of forms of arthritis that affect children. So anybody at any age can be affected by arthritis, but the different forms of arthritis may have some age-related onset.
Is spondylitis the one where, you get the curvature in the back?
Right.
And so as people age, it becomes more apparent, is that right? Is it painful as well?
It's a combination of age and duration. Mm. You know, so because they start getting it in the late teens and early 20s, you know, by the time they get to be 40, they would have had disease for 20 years. Mm. So unless they're treated properly, there would be an accumulation of pain and muscle dysfunction and so on that would lead to the deformities.
Are there things that people can do if they have arthritis? Are there foods that they should be avoiding, or is there any relationship with foods and rheumatoid arthritis?
So again, there is really no evidence from any studies at all that shows that any foods either contribute or benefit patients with rheumatoid arthritis. The recommendations are to eat properly, you know, stick with a good diet, which includes all the ingredients that are necessary. Not eat too much, not eat too little, because you don't want to be too overweight. That's hard on the joints. And you also don't want to be too skinny, because that's not good for anything. And the other thing to do, particularly for rheumatoid arthritis, is to actually keep active. Because it turns out that inflammatory arthritis, that's rheumatoid arthritis, psoriatic arthritis, the back, the ankylosing spondylitis, are the inflammatory arthritis actually do better with movement. Patients actually complain of more pain and stiffness when they're inactive, whereas the mechanical forms of arthritis are more likely to be bothersome when you're using the joints. So the recommendations for people with inflammatory arthritis are actually to keep moving. But of course, there is a balance between doing too much and aggravating the joints and doing too little and suffering from the pain and stiffness. With osteoarthritis, it's the same thing. Movement is actually better. Activity is better. And weight reduction is important. But the body kind of tells the patient, if they've done too much, it's going to hurt. They're going to pay for it. So a patient needs to figure out what they can do, how much they can do of a particular activity, so that they stop before they actually get pain.
Dr. Gladman, have you seen cases where people have both osteo and rheumatoid arthritis?
Absolutely, because you see, I keep telling my patients, just because you have rheumatoid arthritis doesn't protect you from what the rest of the world gets.
Mm.
And so it's very common for people with rheumatoid arthritis as they get older. Remember, they get it between 20 and 40. So by the time they get to be 60 or 70, they've had not only they've had the inflammatory arthritis, but now they can get into the same kind of issues that the rest of us get, and we can get into osteoarthritis. And in fact, it seems that degenerative arthritis tends to favor joints that are already abnormal.
Yeah.
So if somebody has rheumatoid arthritis, they're more likely to develop a degenerative change, a mechanical problem in that particular joint, which is sort of a double whammy.
Have you seen cases where people have had rheumatoid arthritis and it's gone away?
I've seen some, yeah. Very rarely. We're seeing more and more now that we have better treatments.
Mm-hmm.
So we do see patients going to remission.
Mm.
A lot more than we used to see even 15 years ago. But I've seen a few patients who had a significant problem. They got treated, and it's not come back. But like I say, this is a very, very rare situation.
What are the treatments for arthritis?
So again, it very much depends on what form of arthritis we're talking about. So for mechanical degenerative arthritis, we use pain medications, including Tylenol, and we use a non-steroid anti-inflammatory medication, such as we used to use coated aspirin, but now we use naproxen, we use Celebrex, we use ibuprofen. There are a variety of anti-inflammatory medications that are available. And then if those don't work, then sometimes we need to do intra-articular injection, put some cortisone into a joint that's particularly painful and bothersome. And there are now a number of medications that are being developed that are still in investigations, in investigational states that will hopefully work for people with osteoarthritis. Mm-hmm. Now, for rheumatoid arthritis, for psoriatic arthritis, and for ankylosing spondylitis, we now have a number of medications that have been absolutely life changers for our patients. And these include a group that's called anti-TNF agents, which include etanercept, adalimumab, golimumab, certolizumab, and infliximab. And there are a number of other medications that are available for rheumatoid arthritis, including agents that are directed specifically at certain cytokines, which are chemicals that are produced in the body, particularly during inflammation. So there are anti-IL-6 agents, there are anti-IL-12-23 agents, there are anti-IL-17 agents, and there are a couple of small molecules that have recently being tested, and some are already on the market that interfere with some enzymes that are important in the inflammatory process. Mm. So as we're learning more and more about what causes inflammation, what perpetuates inflammation, there are more and more medications that are becoming available and being tested for these conditions. So this, in the last two decades, have been, or at least decade and a half, have been absolutely amazing to be a rheumatologist, because our patients are hugging us in the office every day because they're so happy with these new medications that are available to them. They're able to go back to work. They're able to enjoy activities that they hadn't been able to do for a long time. So there is a lot of not just hope, but a lot of activity in the ability to control the inflammation in many of these inflammatory conditions.
Dr. Gladman, I understand that this might not be your area of expertise, but what about natural health products? That have you seen any of those in use that have helped your patients?
So So, I mean, this, again, like the weather, it's a very individual thing. You know, there was a study that was done in one of the spas in Europe where they put people in and they starved them for a couple of days and then gave them back food sort of one at a time. And some of the people felt better or worse when certain foods were added, but wasn't the same foods for everybody. Mm. So it's the same with the natural products. You know, for some people, they seem to work. But again, there is no, unlike the biologic agents that I just mentioned, where we have numerous studies now that have demonstrated efficacy, there are no studies that are done with the natural occurring things to demonstrate evidence for efficacy. So we really don't know for most of these agents whether the, you know, it's just somebody feels better by chance alone. Because remember, some of these forms of arthritis are not constant. They sort of come and go. So there may be some natural improvement in a condition for a person and just happened to be when they started taking glucosamine or garlic pills or turmeric or whatever people do these days. Mm. So it's very difficult to be sure. I usually tell people, you know, you can try it. If it works, fine. If it doesn't work, don't persist with it.
Historically, you know, what did people do before the use of drugs? What is the history of?
Well, historically, as far back as I can remember, people were using aspirin, which, by the way, came from the willow tree. So many of the medications that we're using that are now produced by pharmaceutical companies actually began from nature, you know, like penicillamine. A lot of these medications, the medications we use for gout, colchicine, comes from a plant. So people used to use those things, and some of these things were, in fact, medicinal. And they just, we're now producing them, you know, in large amounts through chemical plants. But many of the medications that we use today, Digitalis was, you know, for the heart is a plant, and atropine is a plant. So a lot of the drugs that people, or a lot of the approaches that people used in the Middle Ages and before, were things that people found from mushrooms and various plants that they actually were able to almost extract the chemical that was actually useful to reduce fever or control pain. So I'm not saying that natural is necessarily bad, because most of the stuff that we use originated from nature, but some of those natural things also have side effects.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Kleiman, I don't have too much time left, but I want to ask you about gout, because you mentioned gout, and I'm not sure if it's considered under your line of work.
But it's a very inflammatory form of arthritis, but here is a condition where we know the cause. The cause of gout is the accumulation of uric acid crystals, and under certain conditions, these crystals sort of tickle the cells, the inflammatory cells in our body, and produce inflammation, and that's a very acute inflammation. And so the treatment for gout, because they found out what caused gout, they were able to then develop treatments that actually lowered the uric acid level in the blood, and so interfered with the development of the arthritis.
Dr. Gladman, it's been fascinating talking to you, and we'll have to do it again sometime.
Okay.
If people have any questions, or is there a website that you can recommend that they go to, or a book, or?
Well, the Arthritis Society, in Canada, we have the Arthritis Society has a website that has, it's arthritis.ca. It has a lot of information.
That'd be excellent.
And then through there, they can find some other connections.
Dr. Gladman, thanks for coming on the show.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with Robin Western about the book, The Master Cleanse Made Easy.